thank you, Lord, for all of your goodness, for all the work of grace in our lives. We thank you, Lord. We honor you. We bless you. Lord, we cast every care over on you now. Every concern, every problem, every circumstance, everything, we cast it over on you. Lord, you said that we should come and cast our burden over on you. Father, you said that the peace of God would keep our mind. And Father, that we would be free from all anxiety and worry and stress. We just give it to you now. We give it to you now. We give it to you now. Hallelujah. We give it to you now. We receive the peace of God. The peace of God upon our minds. The peace of God in our hearts. The peace of God in our homes. The peace of God rules and reigns in our lives. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, why don't you turn to somebody and greet them in the name of the Lord, and then you can be seated. Good to have you here tonight, everybody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you guys so much, worship team. Appreciate it. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, how is everybody? That good, huh? Is this thing on? Need a healing line for your hearing. Hallelujah. So how is everybody? Doing good? Are you blessed? Are you still saved, or something happened since I saw you? Hallelujah. What, will you sing that song if you're happy and you know it? You know, smile. Let your face show it. It can't be that bad, is it? If it is, we'll pray for you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is on the throne. You know, and I've been sharing, hopefully tonight we're gonna end this series kind of that we've been on. We've been talking about pursuing our destiny and some important truths in God. I hope that it's been ministering to you, been receiving and learning and applying what you're hearing. Review last time, and I appreciate Brother Rick stood in for me last time, and the class can go now. If you're in the Fresh Start class, you can go now. Or if you need to be in there, you can go too, because it's open-ended. You can go at any time. So if you're a brand-new believer and you need to get grounded in some foundational stuff, that Fresh Start class is for you. And I appreciate, too, Brother Rick Nelson standing in for me last Wednesday. I appreciate that. I know he did an excellent job. How many were here? Is anybody here last Wednesday? That's where you're supposed to say amen when I bragged on Brother Rick. We're supposed to pick one another up. Isn't that right? Amen. No matter what you think about it, you know. Here's the thing, you know. Just like me, you know. If you say something about one of my kids, I'm going to tell you what. I ain't going to like it. Isn't that right? You might be right. You know, but here's the thing. You ain't going to say it. Now, when I get them home, I might be on them with both feet. You know what I'm talking about? Isn't that right? You know, there's a time and a place for it. But I'm going to tell you what, man. I want you to know I got you back. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yeah. You know, somebody comes talking something. Man, whoa, no, wait a minute. That's not the brother I know. Wait a minute. You know, we need to have one another's back in the body of Christ. Come on. Amen. Man, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to start passing out some Geritol or something on the way in. Lord of mercy. What is up with y'all folks? Y'all need to, let me quote the scripture. If the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, well, does he?
Yes, he does.
I said, does he?
Yes, he does.
It says he will quicken. You know what that means? That means I make Zoe life.
Amen.
In your body. We might need to get them back there in that martial arts class and get them some exercise and get the blood flowing. It might just be something practical. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, I believe there ought to be life.
Amen.
In the house of God. Amen. Man, I'm old-fashioned. I like amens. I like grunts. I like to know you're getting it. Amen. You know, I might just start standing in front of somebody until I see some life in them. But anyway, we've been talking on the, I've been teaching on this subject now for a number of weeks. Hopefully tonight we'll finish it up. The last time I was with you, week before last, I was talking about, you know, we talked about David. We were talking about that we have to, if you're going to fulfill God's destiny, His plan, His purpose for your life, whether it's individually or corporately as a church body, here's the thing. We've got to cultivate, we talked about, I'll review a little bit. We said we got to cultivate a boldness of spirit. Amen. We've got to learn to be risk takers. Yeah. You know, I heard this said, and that the middle class attitude, you know, and probably the majority of people are in that strata of society, middle class, you know. And the thing that the middle class mentality in that as a whole seeks the most is finding a comfort zone. We want to live comfortably. If we, you know, the bills are paid and, you know, and got a pretty good house and pretty good car, you know, and everything, you know, and we seek for that comfort zone. But here's the thing. To reach for God's best, we've got to be risk takers in God. Yeah. Amen? Amen? You've got to be, listen, if you're not willing to fail, then you're not going to have much success. Because I guarantee you, you will never meet a success that wasn't also a failure at something. Yeah. Amen? Smartest people's ever lived. The people that you look in your history books. I want to tell you what. I don't care if you talk about Christopher Columbus or Thomas Edison or anybody else you want to think of. I guarantee you, those people, they knew failure before they also knew success. And we in the body of Christ, if we're not careful, we want to play it so safe and be so comfortable, and we don't want to, you know, risk. Well, you know, I've had people think, well, what if I fail? Well, what if you do? Get back up. What do you do when you fall down? Lay there and whine about it? You just get back up, don't you? I mean, you know, wouldn't that be something if you came by and saw somebody, you know, you saw them fall and, you know, you came back, you know, a week later and they're still laying there. You think, good, gracious alive, what in the world's wrong with them? Isn't that true? And here's the thing in God. You know, this is what we're talking about. You know, we talked about David over there, you know, in 1 Samuel 17 when he came to see, you know, to check on his brothers and everything, and, you know, and Goliath was coming. We all know the story. But David was willing to what? He was willing to take a risk. He was willing to step out in faith. He was willing to trust God to the point that if God didn't come through, he had it. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. He was going to be giant bait. He was going to be a meal for a giant. Amen. Isn't that right? And we have to understand that if we are who God says we are, if we have what God says we are, if the greater one's living in us like we jump up and shout about and sing about and everything in there, then here's the thing. How much risk are we taking? Amen. You got to get out there. And I want to tell you, if you want, now I'm talking to people who want God's best. Isn't that right? Because we talked about in Philippians 2, we talked about how Paul said we're reaching out for the high call in God. Okay? If you read over there in Philippians 3, he says there's a low call and there's a high call. Amen. You know, there's some people that Paul says they're just going to get in heaven, you know, through fire. That's what he said. They're just going to make it, you know, by fire. Remember he talked about every man's works going to be tried? Remember that? Yeah. And he said, some build, you know, using silver and gold and precious stones, others wood, hay, and stubble. And he said, every man's work, not your salvation, but your work's going to be tried. You receive a reward accordingly. Some people, that's, you know, they're going to get into heaven. That's all they got. Because what? They settled for the minimum. They settled for the wood, the hay, and the stubble. All, you know, I've heard people say, all I want to do is just make it to heaven. Well, God wants you to make it to heaven, but listen, that's not up to you. That's up to God. Listen, why don't you reach out and use your faith and stretch yourself a little bit and go for God's best. Don't shoot for the lowest. Shoot for the highest. And to do that, we've got to cultivate boldness. You know, even the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6, about verse 12 or 13, about verse 15 or 16, somewhere down in there. He says, after talking about the armor of God and all that, he says this. He says, and pray for me. For what? For boldness. Boldness. Now, you know, we live, it's unfortunate because, you know, we see that the culture, we see it in the, when we read the epistles, we see it down through church history. And if we're astute as far as, you know, spiritual things, we can see it trying to and even happening somewhat now. That is that the culture of the world begins to influence the mindset and the culture of the church. Isn't that right? You know, you see it with this political correctness thing. Oh, we're not going to, I don't want to offend anybody. I'm telling you what, Paul wouldn't have fit in today, would he? You know, and here's the thing. We get so used to that. We think that's the norm. And so, you know, when somebody comes across bold, I mean, we're like, well, what's the matter with them? They're just normal. They're just normal. Anybody ever heard of Watchman Nee? The great Chinese man of God. You know, he talked about, he wrote a book called, you know, The Normal Christian Life. He made this statement. He said that most Christians are so subnormal that when they meet somebody normal, they think they're abnormal. Come on. And you know, and they get all, and, you know, we have all kind of problems. So here's the thing. Cultivate a boldness in God. We talked about that in Matthew 11, 12. Notice what Jesus said here. We know the scripture. He said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcibly advancing and forceful men lay hold of it. Notice he didn't say those who sit back, you know, in their Barker, recliner, you know, in their Barker lounger, when they sit back in that thing, he didn't say those are going to take it. He said the forceful men. But people who are bold, the people of faith, the people who are willing to take some risk in God. The people who are willing to say, bless God, I'm getting out of the boat. Remember, we talked about that. Most of the church is where the 11 apostles were. They were all jockeying in the boat and criticizing how Peter failed to walk on the water. Come on. It's true. You know, most of the criticism I get is from people who never got out of the boat. Amen. Come on. It's true. You know, isn't it easy? Anybody besides me like football? I know some of you do. Go ahead and raise your hand. Confession is good for the soul. You know, isn't it easy? I mean, when you're sitting back there, man, and maybe you got that big plasma and it's crystal clear. And you're in that perfect environment there, you know. Got your snacks there and everything. And yeah, I mean, man, that quarterback is just he's getting his head handed to him. You know what I mean? And man, can you take it apart and tell what all he should have done? And why didn't you see that open person? And why didn't he do this? And why didn't he do this? Let's let you get down there. So let's let about three or four of them giants run at you and hit you a few times. And let's see what you do about the fourth play. It's always easy, isn't it true? Whatever it is, it's always easy to criticize somebody. But I want to tell you what, God is not going to. God's going to say, man, look at that guy. He got out of the boat. Yeah, he might have got wet, but bless God, he got up and walked on the water back to the boat. Isn't that right? And I want to tell you what, you know, you didn't see Jesus jumping on Peter about getting out of the boat. Jesus encouraged him to get out of the boat, didn't he? He got out of the boat. So, you know, here's the thing. We got to cultivate that spirit of boldness. And part of that comes what? We build our faith up. We keep our faith built strong in God. We stay sensitive to God. When God says, okay, it's time to launch out. It's time to cast out that devil. It's time to lay hands on the sick. It's time to rise up in the face of a world that says there is no absolutes, there is no right and wrong. It's time to rise up and say, bless God, I'm going to be counted. Now, here's the thing. Let me just say this about you. If you're going to be bold, you're going to get ready to get persecuted. Come on. Not just by the world either. Amen. Because the lukewarm Christians will get mad at you too. Absolutely. They won't like it. You know. They'll get. So here's the thing. If you're going to do this, let me just forewarn you. You're going to get some persecution. You know. because you're going to come on strong. I remember Jesus when he went into the temple that time and the money changers was in there. And the sweet, gentle Jesus went into the temple, said, "Now, boys, if you don't mind, sure would appreciate it if y'all just take this outside." That's the way most people in the church want things to be done. Oh, let's don't offend anybody. Man, Jesus didn't ask anybody anything. He just went in there and went to it, didn't he? Man, woo! I mean, he started turning over tables and whipping people. Lord of mercy. Good gracious. I mean, we'd call the cops on him nowadays, wouldn't we? Absolutely. I'm telling you, you start acting bold, some people won't like it. But I'm going to tell you what, God will like it. Yeah. Amen. So let's press in to the high call. All right. Tonight, and kind of keeping along that same thing, I want to talk about, because without cultivating boldness, you can't do this next thing. And that is have a pioneering spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, the pioneers that settled up, both of ones that originally came over from Europe over here, and then from, you know, gradually from the East Coast and moved to the, you know, Midwest and then out to the West. You know, they had a different kind of spirit about them. Man, you ever talk to somebody that had that kind of pioneer spirit? I mean, they are a horse of a different color, as we used to say. Isn't that right? I mean, boy, they think differently. They look at things differently. I mean, bless God, you know, especially in the early days, somebody got within 10 miles. Man, I'm telling you what, it's getting crowded around here. Yeah. They were always what? Looking to new horizons. They were always looking over to the next thing where we can press on and press in. There's got to be something else over there. Maybe there's something better over there. I want to go over there, you know, and without that pioneering spirit, I mean, I guess we'd all still be over in Europe, wouldn't we? What about that pioneer? And the same thing's true. You take it in medicine. Take it in the field of science, chemistry, all the medicines we enjoy. What if no one had a pioneering spirit in those areas? Where would we still be? We'd still be putting leeches on people. But thank God, you know, that people will get a hold of a pioneering spirit. And you know, it's amazing that whether it's in business or medicine or some of these other areas of the humanities, we applaud that. But so often the time, and when it comes to the church, we stifle it. Come on. Are you out there? The first time somebody begins to get, a little bit of insight here, or that God wants to move in such a fashion, or God wants to do this or that. Oh, man. Oh, wait a minute. You know, we've always done it this way. You know, we've been, bless God, Abraham did it this way. Martin Luther did it this way. And bless God, we're going to do it this way. How many of you know that in God is progressive? Revelation is progressive. Isn't that right? And God never says to get somewhere and camp out. Remember when the children of Israel were being led by the cloud, by the Spirit of God? You know, the cloud by day and the fire by night. And it said when the cloud, stayed steady, what? They camped out. When the cloud moved, what did they do? Amen. And you know, they went around circles for 40 years. You know, they bound to see some same rocks. I mean, you know, I bet some people had the thought, well, good gracious, next time he moves, I'm just going to hang here because I know y'all going to be by here eventually. But here's the thing. They had to move. The thing was, if they didn't move with the cloud, they weren't going to survive, were they? Because where the cloud was where God was going to meet their need, where God was going to sustain them, where God was going to strengthen them, and so forth. And we need to understand the same thing. We've got to cultivate that pioneering spirit. Where we're like, we're appreciative, we're thankful, we're enjoying all that God has given us and the victories, but we don't camp out there. You know, now we see, you ever seen somebody that they camp out in a place of hurt? They've been hurt in life, you know, whatever, you know, circumstances, people, whatever, the devil just, you know, like I say, sometimes the best explanation you got sometimes is life happens, doesn't it? Life happens. You can't always explain it. Sometimes we have some insight. But life happens. But here's the thing. You ever seen people who've been hurt? Maybe they were doing like we said, they were going to be a risk taker. And, you know, they fell short and they failed. Or maybe somebody offended them or they got hurt or this or that way. Or they were rejected and they stop right there. They are still at a place of 10 years before. Amen. Wherever that hurt hit, that's where their emotional and spiritual growth stopped right there. We see it all the time, don't we? But here's the thing. Did you know that same thing can happen on a positive note? If we sit back and think, well, praise God, I'm saved, I'm born again, I've found out about the grace of God. Bless God, I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you know. Bless God, we've learned about the gifts of the Spirit, you know. And all of these, and you see, you know, if you could look at the spiritual landscape, you'd see some camped out here at Grace. Bless God, we're saved and we know it. Some camped out here, we got the Holy Ghost and we're speaking in tongues. And some camped out here because, you know, bless God, we found out about the gifts of the Spirit. But all along the way, what? We can sit back on something that's good, that's legitimate, that's biblical, that's spiritual, something that God blessed us, that God gave us with, and we can camp out there and never move on. So it's not just the negative that can hold us back. If we camp out because we think, oh, this is so good. Remember, I mentioned about when Jesus, remember what they call the Mount of Transfiguration? Remember when Jesus went up there with Peter, James, and John? We know the story, don't you? Jesus was talking with dead people. Hey, that's what he was doing. Moses and Elijah there. Boy, that'll rattle you. Theology, won't it? Talking to dead people, but he was. Then, you know, God spoke the glory of God and all that. Well, the apostles, what did they do? Peter, James, John, they wanted to just, they said, Lord, this is great. Man, this is wonderful. This is good to be here. Let's just make, we'll just make three tabernacles and we'll just stay up here in this thing. Amen. And if I'd have been there, I probably would have had the same human feelings. But here's the thing. Jesus said, no, we got to go down. Because we got to move on. And because there are people that need ministry, that need help. And so we have to understand this. If we will move forward in God, have a pioneer spirit so that we can move forward in all that God has for us. You know, and here's the thing. How you know, when God does something in your life and you move on in God, you get to bring what he did with you. We're not talking about leaving it here and going and, you know, it's this versus that. No, it's this in addition to that and that and that and all the works, the work of grace that God's done in our life all along the way. But here's the thing. When they came down off of that mountain after having that tremendous experience there with Jesus in the presence of God, hearing the voice of God, seeing the glory of God, seeing Jesus talk with dead people. Man, they came down and there was a man down there whose son was bound by a demonic spirit and nine apostles of the Lamb couldn't cast it out. Wow. You think you struggle sometimes? Well, praise God. I mean, we had nine apostles there and they couldn't cast him out. So don't get too down on yourself. But Jesus cast him out. You know, but here's the thing. If we don't cultivate this spirit of, okay, you know what? We're going to move on. And you know what? Change is hard, isn't it? Oh, man. It's hard to change. Because, again, we get in that comfort zone I was talking about. We get comfortable. We're comfortable with our friends. We're comfortable with our neighborhood. I know where all the stores are. Where I know where the restaurants are. We're comfortable with this. We're comfortable with that. And all of a sudden, God says, okay, the cloud's moving. I mean, it's easier to just, you know, I didn't really hear that. And so we put it off and we put it off and we put it off and we put it off, you know, and we wonder, why doesn't God do certain things? Why isn't certain things happening in the church and through the church? Well, one of the reasons could be is that too many of us have dug in our heels and said, we're afraid of change. And I'm telling you, listen, I'm not telling you something. I've had to do it too. And it's uncomfortable. It can be scary sometimes. It's risky. Because I'm going somewhere I hadn't been before. I'm comfortable here. Everybody likes me here. Took me a long time to get them to like me. I don't want to go start over. You know what I'm talking about? It's only two or three, but bless God, those two or three really like me. I'm just kidding. But, you know, it's hard to change, isn't it? You know, I remember, you know, when I got saved, man, I'm telling you, God brought me in contact with some wonderful, beautiful, born-again people. Precious people, wonderful people, just wonderful people. And man, I walked with them and I enjoyed my salvation. Glory to God. It felt so good to know I saved, man, and to get that burden of sin off of me. It was wonderful. But then something else happened. Got something called the baptism in the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues. And there was a separation of the way. These same wonderful, precious people, because they didn't understand. I didn't really understand it either. I just knew it was God. You know, they didn't understand. So what happened? There was a separation. And so what? I came into another wonderful, beautiful group of born again people, but they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke in tongues like I did. Hallelujah. Wasn't it grand? But then God began to do something else in my life. And all of a sudden, you know, we started talking about being obedient to God and following the will of God and answering the call of God, no matter what it cost us. And all of a sudden, there was a separation again. And here's the thing. This is the Christian life. Is that as we choose to walk forward, you know, it's unfortunate. But you know what? There is separation that takes place. And sometimes it's that very fear of separation, of being misunderstood, that keeps us and holds us in a place longer than where God had for us. I'm talking about spiritually, not so much geographically, although we've talked about that. And for some of that, us, it includes a geographic change. I've had a lot of geographic changes, you know, and none of them are easy. I mean, you know. You go from a place where you everybody loves you and knows you and trusts you and believes in you, and you come to a place and you got to start all over again. And you think, Lord, this is not fair. I've already put in 25 years. Bless God. God didn't ask me if I liked it. He just said, here's what we need to do. Amen? And so here's the thing. But I found this out too. Let me see the other side of this. That is too, that there's always benefit and blessing as we move on in God. There's always benefit and blessing. There's a cost and there's a benefit. We might as well just get used to that. If you want the benefit, it's going to cost you something. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about in our growth in God. I'm not talking about being saved and going to heaven. But I'm talking about if you're going to go on with God, if you're going to reap the rewards of God, both in this life and in the one to come, it's going to cost you. If you want the benefit, it's going to cost you. Amen? How many of you think the Apostle Paul might have a pretty good reward in heaven? Well, you look at what he went through. And not just because he went through it, but he went through it because of what? Obedience. Obedience. Amen? And so we have to cultivate that pioneer spirit. Now, let me remind you of this before I move on. And that is this, that I've already illustrated it with the different camps, but every new move of God is always resisted by those who were in the last one. When God reveals himself in a new way and is going in a new direction, you know what? It's the ones that were so fired up in the last move that tend to resist the next thing. Come on. You know, and you know, they were the very ones who pointed the fingers at the last group, you know, because they moved on and the other group, they wouldn't move on. And sometimes a spirit-filled, Pentecostal, charismatic, word of faith, whatever we are, bunch, you know, we can be the world's worst about wanting to change. We are so, sometimes so full of spiritual pride, we're just absolutely sure, bless God, I mean, you know, we got her down. Like God couldn't possibly have anything new or be doing anything. Bless, if he was going to do it, he'd be doing it here. Well, it all depends, doesn't it? If we are willing and open and we'll move with God into the next thing that God is doing, the next step and plan and purpose, and again, whether it's in my individual life or whether it's in a corporate body, a local church, it works the same way. We wonder sometimes, why is it that we see the promises of God and we see where God wants us to be, but yet we seem sometimes to be so far from it? Well, part of the answer is this: how quickly and willing are you to change? Now, I can only answer that for myself, and you can only answer it for you, you know, because nobody knows our heart besides ourselves and God. But here's the thing. It's a question we all need to ask ourselves and ask God to help us to be as honest as we can with ourselves. You know, because, you know, all of us, we have the spiritual side. We have that natural human side. The natural human side seeks comfort. It does. Okay. I finally got everything pretty good. God, don't mess with it. You know, and sometimes that's the attitude that can get in a church. God, we got it pretty good. I know these people. I like these people. They like me. Let's just keep it right here, God. But here's the thing. We're going to have a pioneering spirit. Amen. Amen. Look ahead, not stand still. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. Are you? You know, and here's the thing. You decide. God doesn't decide. You decide. You decide. You know what? This church will go where we decide to go. You will. I will go where I decide to go. Now, you know, God will reveal to you where he wants us to go, but he ain't going to make you. You know, sometimes we wish he would, but he's not going to. So we're going to go where God, you know, where God wants to take us. And here's the thing. If we see where God wants to take us, and yet we still won't go, the Bible calls that rebellion. I was doing good till I got here, wasn't I? You know, I want to help you out. We don't want to rebel. Isn't that what happened with the children of Israel? Didn't they know where they were supposed to go? Didn't God tell them clearly, I'm going to take you into the land of promise? But here's the thing. What? They weren't what? Willing. So did they go? No. The only two that went were the two that were willing. The other 2 or 3 million who weren't willing, they didn't make it in, even though they knew. They got right up to the border. God says, send in the spies. The spies come back. He said, I want you to go in, possess the land. But yet what? They weren't willing. And if you read over there in Hebrews, the writer in Hebrews, the Spirit of God there, he says they rebelled. He said, to know and not do is to rebel. Now, if you're ignorant, that's different. If you're ignorant. But here's the thing. God doesn't want you to be ignorant. You got the Bible. You got the Holy Spirit. Get into the Word of God. Get in, you know, and the Holy Spirit will show you and teach you. And as he shows you things, then guess what? As the light comes, you got to walk in it. If you don't, there's no more light coming forth. Because if you won't walk in the light you do have, why should God give you any more? Isn't that true? And this is what we need to understand. And maybe sometimes if you get to the place where you feel like, you know, your prayers are not getting anywhere and nothing, you're not making any progress, I would suggest to you that you go back to the last thing that God showed you and check yourself and see, am I doing it? Because that could be your very, very problem there. God dealing with you about an area of your life and you keep resisting and putting off and say, yeah, God, I know I need to do something about that, but you don't ever do anything. You don't ever do anything. You don't ever do anything. And you wonder why. Why can't I make any progress in spiritual growth? Why can't I get my healing? Why can't I have the blessing of God like other people? I'm going to tell you, the reason is God is saying, first, you need to deal with this, because dealing with this is more important and it is the gateway into the blessing. You know, if he just blessed you any old kind of way, what motivation would you have to change? Isn't that right? All right. Let me finish up with this. If we're going to ensure our destiny, not only the pioneering spirit, and I could talk about this for a long time, and it's so important, so important. Get purpose in God. I'm going to have a pioneering spirit. You know, and it doesn't matter what our age is. You know, God told Abraham, and I believe this is one reason he picked Abraham, at 75 years of age, Abraham, it's time to move. We're going to move you to a brand new country. Oh, Lord, I'm 75. I can't be moving. I'm in my golden years. You know, I'm settled here. I got the grandkids here. I mean, man, we got it all. I got it all mapped out. I've saved up for retirement, everything. We got it, Lord. He said, go over here to a land I'm going to show you. Didn't even tell him which one. He says, I'll show you. Just keep walking. I'll tell you when you get there. Oh, Lordy. You know, sometimes he can't get us to, you know, go cross the street, let alone do what Abraham did. But the point I'm saying is don't think that you reach a certain age or something and God's not going to do anything. Don't settle in. Oh man, well I'm in my middle years now, or I'm in my retirement years, or whatever. You know, well, you know, I mean, God understands. No, God doesn't understand. He doesn't understand why that you think that you're smarter than He is. He doesn't understand that. Because when God shows you, this is what I want for you, and then you decide to do something different, you've just made a decision that you're smarter than God. Yep. And you know, and I love you all, but none of you have struck me that way. As the same with me. Amen. We've got to learn to rely on the Holy Spirit. This is my last point in the series. We got to learn to rely on the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, following the Holy Spirit. Somebody says, you know, it just, how do you do that? I hear people, you know, you heard people say, be led by the Spirit. God said, you know, we hear people say that, and most people are, you know, it's kind of like looking at a guy slide a hand trick. They hadn't quite seen through it yet. They know it's a trick, but, you know, and we make those statements, you know, about the Holy Spirit and everything. And, you know, most of us are like, that's absolutely right. I have no idea what he said. How do you do that? You know, a total reliance on the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the scriptures teach us a lot about the Holy Spirit. But there are some things about the Holy Spirit that you will only learn by walking with Him. Yeah. Yep. Amen. Anybody in here ride a bicycle? Used to ride? How'd you learn how to do that? You went down to the library and checked out some books? And you read the manual on how to ride a bicycle. You ever seen a manual on how to ride a bicycle? I never have seen one of you. Huh? For some reason, we never felt like that was that important, did we? You know, and the reason I bring that up is because it there's a subjectiveness about this. And I believe God did that. You know, it's just like, you know, if you told me, hey, I got, you know, do you know Bill? Man, I mean, Bill's a great guy and everything else, you know, but I won't ever know. I can sit there and you can tell me all day and extol what a great guy Bill is and what character he is and what a godly man and this and that about. But until I get in the presence of Bill and spend some time with Bill, I mean, I got your report okay and I believe you, but I still don't know Bill the way you know him, do I? I know about Bill. And I think a lot of times all we are hearing is a lot of teaching and preaching about the Holy Spirit, but we haven't got to know the Holy Spirit for ourselves. And so we're like the prophets that stood afar off and watched Elisha and Elijah and saw the river split and saw the chariot come down and all that. But it says they stood afar off. Well, I don't want to stand afar off. I want to get right in the middle of it, don't you? Amen. I want to get right in the middle. I don't want to be a spectator. I want to be in the middle of it. So if we're going to follow the will of God, if we're going to reach for the high call, if we're going to reach out for the destiny, the purpose, the call of God upon our lives, individually and corporately, we're going to have to learn how to rely upon and follow the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you something. It's just like riding that bicycle. The only way you're going to learn is you got to get on that sucker. You know what I mean? You got to get on that bicycle and here we go. Now, you know, I learned old school. Some of you probably did too. I didn't learn with training wheels. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. I think it's good. But I don't know if, you know, same way I learned to swim. They just took you out to the creek and throw you in. You either made it or you didn't, I guess. I don't know. I guess they'd come got me. But they just kind of threw you out there and said, you know, swim to the bank. Now you're a swimmer. Man, you were thrashing water, you know, man. I'm telling you what. I think the creek was, you know, at least 6 inches, you know, shallower after I got through because I didn't know nothing about swimming. And, you know, it's same thing riding a bike. They're just like you said, Pat, push you down, get you a good little going, and here you went, and boom, you fell over. And what they do, they got you up, brush you off, and here you went again. And here's the thing. We can teach you, and there are a lot of good books, and you should read them and hear the teaching. But the bottom line is, in application, in applying that, you know, I can tell you, you know, we could all tell you some tips about riding a bicycle. I mean, you know, it takes balance. You got to keep a certain amount of momentum, you know. Don't let you wait. Don't lean over this way and that way. But the bottom line is, you still got to get on the bicycle and do it. And so we can talk about how the Bible says that the Spirit of God lives in us. In Romans there 8 says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And we can talk about what the Scriptures teach, that He'll be our helper, our guide, that He will witness to us, He will lead us and direct us. But the bottom line is, after hearing all that, you still got to do it for yourself. You've got to get in. And I want to tell you, one of the best ways to learn how is you get your Bible and you get alone somewhere, your prayer closet or wherever it is, okay, and begin by saying this: Holy Spirit, I'm going to start reading here in the Scriptures. I want you to open up the understanding of the Word of God to me. Amen? Amen? Amen. You know how a baby learns to walk, don't you? You know, first they crawl. Isn't that right? They crawl around. Then the next thing you know, they're grabbing a hold of stuff and pulling up, you know, and they're doing this number. You know, and then finally, they'll kind of let go of something, and they do that, and then sit down. Hopefully they sit down and don't go forward. Isn't that right? And then, you know, remember when, you know, mom and dad, you'd get there, and, you know, one of them would have the baby, and the other one would be over here, and they walked. Well, actually, if it's like our kids, the first time they more kind of fell to you than they walked, didn't they? It's kind of fell a couple of steps and you caught them. Yeah. But, you know, here's the thing. If you'd been concerned that they were going to fall or they were going to hurt themselves or whatever like that, to such a degree that you every time they were a little wobbly or something, I mean, you were jumping over there, they would never learn to walk. And here's the thing with the Holy Spirit. You get alone with the Bible. You get alone. And, you know, at first, you're going to be just like that baby. You're going to be kind of grabbing a hold of something, you know, and you're going to feel kind of wobbly about, I don't know, was that God or was that not God? And here's the thing. God will first, the Holy Spirit will first begin to teach you and to show you and lead you in things that are not that life-threatening. You know what I mean by that? In other words, the first thing the Holy Spirit is not going to show you is, I am called to a great worldwide ministry, and I'm here to take over. My goodness, no. You know, it amazes me. People waiting for Holy Spirit to tell them some big thing. That'd be like your kid. You know, first thing they did, they didn't follow the sequence I just said. Bless God, you know, you had them in a race. They just started out running. Yeah. It's not going to happen that way. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you, okay, in the same way, by degree. The Bible teaches us it's also according to our faith and growth. God will lead us that way. Amen? God is a good Father. He knows. And here's the thing. God's not going to, you know, the Holy Spirit's not going to lead you into a place to where you are a busybody and, you know, and He's telling you something about everybody else's business. He's going to speak to you about your business. Amen? I mean, you know, you got some business that could use a little tweaking. Yep. I'd raise both feet if I wouldn't fall. Isn't that true? Yeah. And so I'm trying to help you here because there's a subjective part of the Holy of how the Holy Spirit leads us. You know, it's kind of like I've said before, you know, it's kind of like this. What does milk taste like? If you've never tasted of it. What does milk taste like? Well, it tastes like milk. I sit up here all day, tastes like milk. Well, that don't do you any good, does it? If you've never tasted the milk, you know, because it might taste blue to me and red to you and green to somebody else. I don't know. I don't even know how milk tastes to you. You know, I just know how it tastes to me. So there's that subjective part with us learning how the Holy Spirit leads us. And that's something that's individual. And, you know, and we that are a little bit further along can kind of help you and kind of, you know, say, that's the Holy Spirit. And, you know, but you've got to get in there and you've got to learn how to hear from the Holy Spirit. Because if we don't, we will never be able to reach the high call. Amen. You can't just grab hold of this book in your mind. People have tried it. Whole denominations have tried it who deny that the Holy Spirit is still alive and leading people and speaking to people and all. And they have grabbed hold of this Bible with their own natural mind. And I'm telling you, as Peter said, they have wrestled with it to their own destruction. And when the natural mind without the Holy Spirit grabs hold of the Bible, one of the first things that it will do is it will eliminate anything and everything supernatural. Sure. You know how we've done that in the church? We've come up with something called dispensationalism. Well, that was done back then, but God don't do that now. They can't show you any scripture, but, you know, it sounds good. Why does it sound good? It only sounds good to this. It sure doesn't sound good to my spirit. And it sure doesn't sound good when I need a miracle. Sure doesn't sound good when I need healing. Sure doesn't sound good when my kids need deliverance from drugs or alcohol or something. I'm telling you what, that's not the message I want to hear. And so without the Holy Spirit, we eliminate the supernatural. We eliminate the power of God. We eliminate that from our lives. And as soon as you do that, all you've got left is what you can grab hold of with your mind. And because we've had that in so much of the body of Christ, we've got a generation, younger generation, says, that's not enough for me. And bless God, I'm in that generation. How about you? I don't care what age you are. This is not enough. I want the power of God. I want the supernatural. I want to be led by the Spirit, because the Bible says the Spirit knows what? The mind of God. Right. Isn't that right? Right? He knows the mind of God. And He will reveal the mind of God to you and I. But here's the thing. If you're so doggone busy that you don't have any time to wait on the Holy Spirit in prayer, to get in this book and wait on the Holy Spirit and learn to hear His voice. You know how you learn to hear His voice? You miss it sometimes. Remember we talked about risk takers? Here's the thing. Somebody says, you know, but Pastor, I'm a little scared to do that because I'm scared I might miss it. Don't worry, you will. Amen. And if anybody gets on to you, don't worry about it. They did too. They just trying to act like they never did. They surely did. Nobody ever learned how to be led by the Spirit without missing it. Amen. But here's the thing. You get on out there. What do you do if you fall down? You get up. That's deep, isn't it? You just get back up. As a matter of fact, the Bible says you which are spiritual, help them get back up. It didn't say go over there and kick them while they're down. Hello? Isn't that right? Bless God, somebody tries to step out and do something, and maybe they miss it, maybe they fall down. We come on. Wait a minute, let me help you there. Come on. We criticize. We assign motives to them. Well, I'll tell you what. You don't know that. You don't know what their heart is. Isn't that true? I'm glad Jesus don't do that. Amen? So don't worry about it. You get out of the boat. Bless God, I'll tell you what, we'll you go down in the water, we'll be there to help pick you up. Amen? Amen. Only thing I ask is when it happens to me, you do the same thing. Isn't that right? Yeah. Now, here's the thing. If you plan your whole Christian walk to stay in the boat or stay on dry land, then, you know, hey, you're safe. But here's the thing. You also are not going to enjoy God's best. You're not going to be in a place of miracles. You're not going to be in a place of the greatest fruitfulness that your life could be. You're not going to make the difference that it could make, both in this life and in the life to come. So here's the thing. You've got to weigh that out. And I can't do it for you. You've got to do it for you. I've got to do it for me. We've all got to make those decisions. Will I risk stepping out? Will I trust the Holy Spirit's leading here? Or am I going to draw back and say, oh, I can't do it? I think I've shared this with you before. I'll close with this little example. I remember Brother Hagin, Dad Hagin, he talked about this story. Some of you may remember it. He said he was praying, happened to be a missionary, come home on furlough because he had cancer and he was given up to die. He was in the bed, couldn't get up, you know, bed fast. You've seen people like that. And so, you know, God had him go and he was praying there at his bedside, praying several hours a day. Praying, you know, praying, believing God, praying. He said, while he was praying, he was right there, he was praying. All of a sudden, Jesus appeared right at the foot of the bed. Right at the foot of the bed appeared. And he's and Brother Hagin said, he said, I just told the brother, he said, I didn't say what I saw or didn't see. He just said, I just said this. He said, Jesus is here to heal you. And that's true whether we see him or not. Isn't that true? But in this case, I mean, he saw the vision. He said, Jesus is here to, and he said, that man, he couldn't do it. He couldn't get out of bed. He couldn't do it. But he jumped out of bed. He ran around to the foot of the bed. He didn't, you know, he told him later, he didn't see Jesus. But he ran right where Jesus was standing there and stretched out his arms. And then he said, just this dark look just came over his face and his hand went down. And he said, I can't. I can't. Yeah, Jesus is here to heal you. You can receive your healing. I just can't. I can't receive my healing. I just can't. I just can't. And that happened a couple different times. Finally, Jesus turned. Brother Hagin said, looked at him. He just looked. He said, you've never seen such a sad look in your life. And Jesus, he told him, he said, you see, I've come to heal him and he won't let me. He said, now he'll be dead in 2 days. And he was. And so here's the thing, you know. We've got to realize this. Don't think that there's not a cost. Oh, we can stay in our comfort zone and stay where we are. And, you know, and we may not know about all the things that God has for us and the things that we're missing. But that doesn't mean that we're not. And, you know, what was it about it? Brother Hagin said, I never know. He said, Jesus never told me why. Why that man? I mean, was such a presence of God like that, a manifestation of God, and yet he couldn't. Yet how many times do we hold back to out of fear? Oh, what if I miss it? You know, I think sometimes, unless, you know, we're family, let's just be real. I think if we had a more supportive family, we'd be willing to take more risks. Yes. Yes. And I'm talking about, you know, I'm just talking about the family of God. Isn't that true? I'm myself too. I'm putting in. Isn't that true? That we, you know, that you knew that if you did miss it, we're gonna love you anyhow. But instead, we've seen what happens to people who miss it. Oh Lordy! And so we're afraid. We're afraid to step out. We're afraid to do that because, you know, in the body of Christ, you know, we kill our wounded. You know, it's not enough that they're wounded here. We'll help you out of your misery. We've, you know, somehow if we're going to be all that God wants us to be individually, we can't do it by ourselves, can we? I need you. You need me. Or you need somebody. Whether it's, if it's not me, you need somebody. You can't do it by yourself. But we need one another, don't we? And we need to create an atmosphere of enough love and support, unconditional love and support, that, hey, if you step out, if you miss it, it doesn't matter. Bless God. We're not going to criticize you. We're not going to beat you up. We're going to help you get up. Amen. Yeah. Dust yourself off and say, bless God, that's all right, honey. You can do it. Isn't that what we tell our kids when they were learning to walk? If they fell down, what did we tell them? Well, that's it. We're not going to do that again. You'll never learn to walk. No. We get them up. We give them a big hug, say, boy, that was the, man, that was great. And all they did was, you know, fall and stumble and, you know, and fall on their face. But what do? We praise them, don't we? And so if we're going to learn to follow the Holy Spirit, you know, there's going to be on the one side, we can see what the scriptures teach and we should know about that. But on the other side, there's this subjective part where we're going to, you know, we're going to walk. We're going to take some halting steps. We may make a misstep or whatever. But here's the thing. If I've got the love and support of my family, the family of God, if we got it there, it's all right. That's why I said, you know, I tell people, hey, man, I got your back. I don't care. If you miss it, I'm not going to be one of those kicking you. Man, I'm going to help you get up. Isn't that right? And you know why? Because I've been one of those down. And you probably have too. Amen. Anybody in here has never missed it? I'm not holding my hand up. I'm just checking to see if there's any. You know, we've got to learn to do this. And the same thing's true on the positive side. You know, a lot of times we think about missing it. We think about missing it on the negative. Well, he sinned or something, and that's true. And we still shouldn't kick people down there either. The Bible says you restore them. It doesn't say you kick them. Kill them off. You know, pretend you don't know them. It says restore them. But here on the positive side, when we step out to follow the Holy Spirit, when we step out to do something for God, to follow God, listen, let's don't, if somebody does miss it, let's don't beat them up. Man, if you know, if you can help them, if you can give them some insight, and then give it to them. But if you haven't got any insight, at the least you can do is encourage them. Say, that's all right, you'll do better next time. You'll get it right next time. We'll get it right together next time. Isn't that right? Amen. Hardest car to steer is the one that's parked. Isn't that true? It's safe. You probably got the lowest, well, I don't know, in some parking lots, but generally speaking, you got the lowest risk for having an accident. Isn't that right? But you're not going anywhere. And you know, at first, it may be great to sit in the car, smell the new leather, fiddle with the CD player, maybe put the sunroof back a little bit. But eventually, it gets, boy, the scenery gets monotonous. I'm just sitting here in a stupid parking spot. I ain't going nowhere with my life. I'm not making any progress. And there gets that frustration. You know what that? That's God prodding you on, saying, look over here. See that thing says starter? Crank that thing up. Man. Did you hear that? Oh, man. Look down there in them gas pedal. Put that thing in gear. Let's get out on the road. Give this thing a road test. Amen. Amen. Fulfilling God's destiny. I'm telling you. Let's encourage one another. If you'll encourage me, I'll encourage you to reach for God's best. How about that? Does that sound like a good thing for you? Let's just do it. I remember, we're going to receive the offering in just a minute. I remember, how many know who Kenneth Copeland is? You ever heard of Kenneth Copeland? Evangelist and teacher and all. Been around a long time. I remember years ago when he was, ministry was first getting up and going good. There was another brother, Jerry Savelle, some of you know, was worked with Brother Copeland for a few years. And, well, not that long, really, but, you know, for 2 or 3 years or whatever. So Jerry was really young in those days, Jerry Savelle, and he came and told Brother Copeland, God's called me to go out on my own in ministry. And he said, I thought, oh, God, that boy can't find the floor hardly. He can't preach his way out of a wet paper bag. He said, now, I didn't tell him that, but he said, that's what was going through my head, you know. And he's, you know, and he's there, he's talking to the Lord, and he said, God, what's going to happen when he gets out there and he falls flat on his face and he ain't got no money and he can't pay his bills? God said, you pay them for him. Straighten him up. All of a sudden, he got right in there with him. You can do it, boy. You know, because I don't have to pay his bills. Yes, sir. That's what we need to do, though, isn't it? I mean, at first, we may think, oh, Lord, you're going to do what? But then let's allow faith to rise up and say, okay, you know what? I'm going to let you get out of the boat. Glory to God. Get out of the boat. Go ahead. It's all right. You know, I think that's why I like Peter. Man, I'm telling you what. Peter made his share of mistakes, didn't he?
He sure did.
But I'm going to tell you what. I believe he was one of God's favorites. Yeah. Man, he was always messing up and saying the wrong thing. But, you know, I'll say this about Peter. Bless God, he did something. Yeah. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
God used him. And you know what? He'll do the same for you and I. Well, we're going to give you an opportunity to give right before you go, if you'd like to give tonight. We appreciate that. We mentioned Sunday, and maybe you weren't here, but we put a new air conditioner unit back there in the kitchen because the food wasn't the only thing that was cooking. The people back there was cooking too, so we bought a new unit. So if you'd like to give a little something extra toward that, you can just mark it building fund or put AC in a line or something like that, and we'll put it toward that. Get that thing paid off. I'll tell you what, I was back there Monday. Sure felt better, didn't it, Gene? I'm telling you. Man, before you go in there with all those heaters going and nothing going, you felt like, boy. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you can help out and you'd like to, then you just add that to it, and we appreciate it. God will bless you. Give you a minute to write out that MILLION check. That's all right. One of these days I'm gonna come back and say, hey, we got it. You know. Then the laugh be on you, won't it? You can laugh at me right now, but then I'll laugh at you. Hallelujah. All right. You got it there, baby? Hallelujah. Let's pray over it. Father, thank you for the ability to give. And Lord, we give knowing this, that you are our source, that you are our Jehovah Jireh. You're the God who sees ahead and provides. We eat from your hand and we are satisfied. Receive our gifts now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, here's the thing. Let's be bold. Let's be some risk takers. You know what I mean? Faith risk takers in faith. Let's cultivate a pioneering spirit here at Grace. What do you say?
Amen.
Man, I don't want to sit so long that somebody's got to come along and clean the cobwebs off of me. Amen. Moss starts growing on me. You know, kind of got a feeling you've been there a while. Amen. I want to move forward in God. You know, there's new ground, there's new territory, there's new vistas, there's new victories to win, new battles to fight, new glories to see. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're not ready for retirement yet, are you? Preached you right out of it. All the retired people, stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, it's amazing if you look through the scriptures at what we would call well over retirement age people, how God called them and used them in that time in their life. So don't be surprised. Hey, you know. You know, that's encouraging to me as a young man. I got a lot of years ahead.
That's right.
Hallelujah. How about you guys? Y'all young, right? Daryl's like, you talking to me? You are, brother. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this lesson, for this time together. Lord, I trust in this series, Lord, that it helped the people. Lord, that we will take it, myself included. Lord, we will take it and we will do something with it. We'll be doers of the word and not just hearers only. We'll do what we've heard, what the Holy Spirit has shown us, what he has revealed to us, Lord. Father, in all these lessons, he's emphasized and shown different things to different ones. But Father, whatever the Holy Spirit has shown us, Lord, we're going to go and do it. Holy Spirit, we look to you. We do rely upon you. We're going to learn even better to hear your voice and to walk in your ways. We thank you, Lord. We give you the glory for all you're doing in our lives, individually and corporately here, Lord. Father, may we be encouragers of the brethren. May we create such an atmosphere here at Grace, Lord, that no one will be afraid to step out of the boat. No one will be afraid to move by the Spirit of God. No one will be afraid, Lord, because, Father, even if we miss it, just like Peter, he said, Lord, save me. And you are right there to pick him up. Lord, let us be people who pick one another up. Oh, we're not going to be the critic. We're going to be the one who encourages, who picks one another up, who will dust one another off, who will pass the towel to dry off and encourage them to get out of the boat again. Thank you, Lord. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. See you Sunday.
Have a great 4th of July, by the way.